Now, driverless cars. Self-driving cars are now a reality. Now, it's going to be a little bit longer before governments around the world deem them safe enough to join regular traffic on our roads. So what does a future full of self-driving cars look like? Jonathan Roberts, Professor in Robotics at Queensland University of Technology, joins me now. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining me. Now, how far away are we looking before driverless cars will be ready to mix with regular traffic on the road?
I think we're still a few years away before most of us will see a driverless car on the normal road, and probably only on some roads, probably the freeways, the highways, the sort of high quality roads where everything's very sort of uniform and good. We'll probably start to see them there, and then as they improve in their reliability, I guess we'll start to see them in sort of more complicated scenarios like inner city streets and things like that.
Mm. Are the safety concerns the last obstacle, really, or are there other things in the way?
Absolutely. I mean, of course, safety is the number one thing. In fact, it's one of the reasons people are trying to make driverless cars, because there is a hope, and it's fairly realistic, that one day driverless cars will be safer than human-driven cars. So that's actually one of the motivations for having them. But at the moment, of course, they're still being tested, and we still see tests online all the time. These videos keep going viral of things going slightly wrong when a reporter jumps in a driverless car and it's shown off. You know, it never seems to go perfectly. So there's still a little way to go, but there's a lot of people working on it, and I've got no doubt that eventually they will be safer than human-driven cars.
Mm. What a time that'll be. What will the legislation look like in terms of the safety of the vehicle and having a backup driver in the seat in case anything goes wrong?
Well, that's one of the really interesting things. So there's an assumption at the moment, of course, when there's tests, that there is a backup driver. So it's a little bit like cruise control, which some people use on their cars at the moment, where, you know, you're sort of still there and you're still expected to take control. With the case of cruise control, you're still expected to, you know, put your foot on the brake if you need to, if you're kind of curdling towards a car and that the car doesn't know about. In the driverless cars, it's the same. So at the moment, there's an assumption there's a human there to take control if something goes wrong. Unfortunately, there's a lot of research being put out by all sorts of researchers at the moment that humans aren't very good at doing that. So if the human is not paying attention because their driverless car is driving by itself and they're on their phone or watching a video or chatting to people or whatever they're doing, the chances of them actually being able to take control in an emergency situation and save the day are actually not that high, because they're simply not paying attention. And of course, things happen very fast when you're going at high speed. So long term, we can't rely on humans being there as a backup driver. So long term, driverless cars will have to work very well without any backup drivers. That's kind of just fundamental.
Mm. Yeah, well, I suppose with attention span in comparison to cruise control, you still have to steer with cruise control, so you still have to be switched on with the road.
Exactly.
Whereas with a driverless car, you can do whatever you want, really.
Absolutely, and that's I think that is what's going to be challenging in the first instance. They've got to kind of make a really big jump in reliability because you've really got to be able to have these things operate with no backup, which is definitely possible. But it's not kind of next week. It's probably a few years away before the reliability is good enough.
Mm. If you've just tuned in to 2SER, we're speaking right now with Professor Jonathan Roberts about driverless cars and where they're going to be in the next few years. Now, Jonathan, in regards to accidents and injury, where will responsibility lie? Will it lie on the car owner or will it lie with the car manufacturer?
Oh, that's a very good question. And that's something that kind of we find with all this sort of technology, that the legislation kind of lags behind the technology, which is kind of natural and understandable. So governments and legislators are, of course, looking at all of this now to try and figure out who's responsible. So it's actually unknown at the moment. It's probably a whole lot of court cases in the future will decide this. When there inevitably are accidents, because of course nothing's going to be 100% reliable. All everyone's aiming for is to be safer than current cars driven by people. So there's no one's pretending there'll be no accidents. But so when there are inevitably accidents, there'll be legal action by someone. And I guess it will start to become clear who, in the eyes of the law, who is actually going to be responsible. So there's really no clear answer at the moment. We'll just have to wait and see.
Well, definitely a tricky one. Well, finally, Jonathan, now, obviously, new technologies do change industries very rapidly. What do you think the impacts will be on industries surrounding, you know, anything vehicle-wise, not just the transport industries, but also things like automobile repair and maintenance industries as well? How do you think they're going to be affected by the introduction of these high-tech driverless cars?
Well, that's very interesting because a number of people have written about this recently, that if driverless cars become completely standard and people, individuals, don't own them much anymore, instead you literally just go out and you jump into a driverless car and it then, when it drops you off, it goes and picks someone else up, etc., etc. Those cars effectively are going to be used 24 hours a day, which means they will wear out much faster than the average car at the moment. So that is something that the industry will kind of have to deal with, that cars may only last a year. If they're being driven every single hour, they're not going to last very long. So that then has implications about maintenance and how all that's done. So there are major ramifications for these changes that are coming up. You know, when cars drive all day long, the world will probably look very different.
Wow. Yeah. And will, do you think we'll start to see the development of driverless public transport, like driverless buses?
Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. So if, almost by definition, if you can make a small car driverless and completely reliable, then you can do exactly the same with public transport. Public transport sometimes a little bit different because sometimes you want a public transport employee on there for other reasons, like for security reasons, or if there's a lot of people there for health reasons, if someone needs assistance getting on or off. So it will probably depend, but I can from a technology point of view, it will definitely be possible, for example, to have driverless buses. Absolutely, no reason why not.
Mm.